So I feel that we should be a little bit more subdued this week.
Because Xander Bogaerts didn't make the All-Star team?
No. A little bit more somber news. We'll get into it in a minute, but I just feel like, you know, if you want to say anything irreverent, now's the time.
I'm not going to say anything irreverent. Who do you think you're talking to, John? I wouldn't... What? Who...
Just shocking news, sad news.
Shockingly sad news.
Yeah. We'll get into it in a minute. I feel like we need to, you know, kind of do the
on the sadness show.
On the sadness show. No, this is we're gonna jump right in. This is episode 106 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the I had the list here a second ago. The Young Frankenstein issue.
Oh, so good.
Such a good movie. So just in case you haven't tuned in to the last five episodes, we're coinciding the number of the episode with the top 100 comedies according to IMDb, one of the IMDb lists. So we're on the Young Frankenstein episode.
It's excellent.
Big knockers. Why, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, so many good things. So still very timely. Great comedy. I love it.
Yeah, Mel Brooks has two of the top six comedies of all time.
Yes.
And deservedly so.
They're fantastic films. I mean, they're hilarious, and they are structurally pretty sound, though they both do kind of fall apart at the end, both of those
films.
Yeah, a
little silliness at the end of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
it does
and
get a little bit.
At the end of Young Frankenstein gets
a little bit, yeah.
Like, oh, what do we do now? Oh, I don't know. What if we made them showmen?
Right. But I think you got to put it into the context of the times, too. In the early mid-70s, those two films were...
So you're saying it doesn't hold up, John. Jeez, brutal.
No. I'm saying at the time.
On a week like this, too. He's down.
They were groundbreaking films, groundbreaking comedies at the time.
Yeah.
For sure.
And they're still funny. That's the thing is, they're still funny.
So let's get into the headlines.
Speaking of guffaws and chortles.
Yeah, this is just a laugh riot. But
this is awful. Like, it freaked everybody out. Like, okay, so in case you don't know, and I don't know, someone might not know, Tyler Skaggs passed away, Angels pitcher, 27 years old.
And the Angels just seem to be... this has happened twice now in the last 10 years to them, where a young, promising pitcher, you know, suddenly passed. Well, not, you know, in the case of Aiden Hart, he was killed in a car accident. This is just even more shocking because it was, he was in his hotel room.
Yeah.
They still haven't determined the cause of death, but they suspect no foul play. There was no signs of suicide, so it's just... Last I heard yesterday afternoon was natural causes.
I mean, it does happen, right? Isn't that what happened to Daryl Kyle?
Yeah.
Just people die. You just happen to... People die all the time, John. I don't know if you know this.
I did hear about that, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's a pretty well-known fact that people die all the time. I just think now, like... I mean, with the exception of, like, the people that are dying from the opioid stuff, which I was just talking about Prince... the other day with my wife, and just like, it's still, I mean, I wasn't like a huge Prince fan, but what an immense talent, and just gone.
Right.
And gone at the age of what, 50?
50.
Basically.
54, I think, something like that.
Yeah. His 50s, like, the guy easily could have kept making music, kept making more art for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
But
too many,
he was
too
on
many musicians, too many pills. Actors, too many... people.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. I mean, I've had a couple of friends who've had, deaths in the family, both of them, you know, unexpected, relatively young. You just never know. And I don't want to, you know, have this be the downer episode, but it's just nice to see the outpouring of emotion you know, from fans and all of Major League Baseball. And it just is, you know, there's the, it makes people realize, I think, the human side of baseball is never too, too far away.
Yeah. And part of the tragedy, of course, and this is a small part of it, is he was actually having a good year. Like, he was staying healthy. He's had so much trouble staying healthy. And here he was, like, finally achieving that potential he'd spent his whole life going for. And he, and just to have, oh, and again, obviously it's awful for his family and stuff, and they probably would trade a bad season for him still being alive, of course. But the fact is that, like, the guy had finally started to put it together. I mean, he's been on my fantasy baseball radar, you know, like, oh, he's got those good peripheral numbers, but he just can't stay healthy. And then he finally starts putting together, I think he had 13 starts in a row. It's his longest streak. And then gone. It's so bizarre. I mean, it happens, but it's so bizarre. And, you know, as baseball fans, like, it's upsetting or whatever, but I can't even imagine being on that team and just being like,
no, how do you, and then, like, how do you get up the next day, you know?
And then someone has to be called up from the minors to replace this guy. Place.
That is,
right?
Yeah, that's brutal. Like, yeah, here's your spot. Got my lucky break. Yeah.
Awful. Stanton did. I don't know if you saw Giancarlo Stanton's post, but he did an Instagram post basically, like, telling him, like, he understands how hard, because he went through the whole Jose Fernandez thing. And he's just like, you know, of course it's awful at first, and but you need to get out there and play, and people need you to do that. And I mean, it's, you know, on a smaller scale of some of the big tragedies we've had, baseball does help comfort people.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to dwell on the negative. So yeah, we should move on.
Yeah, so, and no more Marlins talk. If we're not going to dwell on the negative, don't even mention the Marlins.
Even your boy Caleb?
Don't even mention the Marlins. If we're going to stay away from negativity, Orioles and Marlins are just right out.
Right out. Okay, that sounds good. Let's talk MLB All-Stars.
I love it.
It seemed early this year, just kind of, you know, not being around baseball nearly as much as I used to be, now down in Ecuador. I wasn't even aware that the game was the 9th. Usually it's like a week later, but it's the 9th this year, next week.
Right, because they did start the season a full week and a half early.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little bit earlier. The lineups were announced. The... You know, you have your typical stars that, you know, are on the team. Well, you have some stars that weren't on the team, too, that, you know, because of poor performances, like a Bryce Harper. You know, the $300 million man, not going to the All-Star game.
He is not on the All-Star team. And not, honestly, not even close.
No. No. I think,
but hey, it's only $30 million a year or whatever. No, actually, it isn't, right? It's 27. The Padres are the ones paying $30 million a year to not have an All-Star.
Right. He's really really concerned about it, I'm sure.
That's probably not Machado's biggest concern right now.
No,
is it?
No. He's counting his money. He's happy. So he's looking at it. He's like, I get some time off. And I think a lot of the players do, especially the ones in the modern era. You know, the you had players back in the 50s and 60s that were, you know, like Willie Mays, you know, made the All-Star team, I think, 20 times. You know, these guys look forward to it, you know. But now guys are kind of hoping they don't make it. They don't want to get hurt. They prefer to have some time off with their families and, you know, sit at home and count their money.
Yeah. Did you see that this the stat, there's however many people are in the All-Star game, was it 50? They do 50, 50, 60, something like that. But 21 of them are making less than $1 million.
Wow.
21.
That's good, though, that we're not just recognizing the old-timers, the ones who...
Yes, absolutely, John. I completely agree with that. Yeah. But I also am like, holy crap, there's a lot of underpaid players in the league right now.
Or it's just
because it's like it's under 100 million, but it's like a lot of them are like after under a million, but a lot of them are like 600,000, like league minimum, 550,000.
Their paydays are coming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. But it is proving that the league is getting younger, and I'm glad that the All-Stars are reflecting that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about snubs and in duds later.
Yeah.
In our Around the Horn segments. We'll dive a little
bit deeper. Go around the horn with that.
Sure. So this is the like one of those strange stories, and I find it interesting that the language is, well, it seems like a good solution. And when I read this headline about the Rays giving permission to pursue a two-city home ballpark in both Tampa and Montreal, I thought to myself, who is that good for? I mean, you know.
Well, so yeah.
If you're a fan of a team and you're following the team in the first half of the season and then they suck and then they pick it up in the second half and you're not able to go to the games or vice versa, I mean, that just seems weird to me that it would be a viable solution.
It feels like a leveragey kind of thing.
It does.
Like maybe they're just trying to make it seem like, well, we're going to do this because the Expos can get a new stadium. Now, I've always wondered, well, why would the Expos even be considered? They lost their team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's widely considered that the stadium was more to do with the problem, the reason why fans didn't come out, which I'm a little dubious about because whatever. But that
stadium was pretty awful.
It was pretty awful. Olympic Stadium,
I did go to a game there with about 700 other people. I mean, you could hear people talking. You could hear conversations, some in French, some in English.
Oh, so the Rays would fit right in.
They would. It would be perfect.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So I just don't see how it's... I mean, if you're Montreal, you want the team back, you're going to support the team, especially in the first season. They're going to sell out games.
Yeah.
And then the Rays, you know, how do you figure who... You know, I think it would be more fair if they didn't do half and half, that they did it.
Look, here's the thing, John.
Month to month.
This happens in marriages all the time, right? They're like, hey, let's have an open marriage. Let's bring someone else into this. It always ends badly, John.
It does.
It always ends badly.
Someone's going to get hurt.
That's right.
And it's usually the old time.
Yeah.
The long-term party is the one who gets feeling a little bit snubbed.
Yeah.
So... our condolences, Tampa Bay.
Yeah. It is kind of funny, though, right? Like, the idea of, like, oh, they start the games down when the weather's bad. They start the games down in the domed area, and then they just go up north and for the good weather and then come back at some point. I don't know. So weird.
We'll see.
Baseball.
We'll see.
What are you doing?
Yeah, silly. And then somebody else is going to, if that becomes a trend, it'll be a trend in other sports as well. We're already doing it, you know, to a certain extent, that we're sending football teams over to Mexico and London, and now baseball teams to England and Australia and Japan. You know, we're not for whole seasons, mind you, but still we're...
Yeah.
Sending people all over
the place.
But
is it really financially viable for two cities to have a stadium? Like, I actually don't mind the idea of a team being shared by two cities. I don't mind this sort of global thing, you know? But I do kind of wonder, like, that seems like a lot of money for two stadiums.
But what happens when a team makes the playoffs? Who gets dibs?
John, that team's not making the playoffs. Actually, you know what? The Rays are.
They
have a chance.
They have a chance. We'll see.
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird. It's a good team, too. I think the problem with that team is that, A, it's in Florida, and it's in a weird... I don't know if you've ever been to that part of St. Petersburg or whatever, but, like, that's
the dregs. The dregs of St. Petersburg.
Yeah. And I guess they've learned now, like, you can't just, oh, we'll just, this happened to Atlanta, right? Like, oh, we'll just take this one over here in this area where the land is cheap or whatever. Like, you have to put it near stuff.
Yeah. And you have to build a, there's nothing there. There's nothing around that stadium.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other stadiums that have, cities over time have said, hey, let's move it closer to downtown as opposed to being out in the burbs where there's nothing. Kansas City's out in the middle of nowhere. Over time, it's kind of, there's more around it, but the Arrowhead Stadium and where the Royals play, it was out in the middle of nowhere. And it seems like it makes more sense. I love the whole downtown ballpark vibe, you know, when you go into a city and you're roaming around and before the game time, especially as a little kid, you walk around the corner and there's the stadium, as opposed to driving on the highway and seeing it for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, we're almost there. But yet, when you turn the corner and you see Fenway, or you turn the corner and see Yankee Stadium or Wrigley, you get that, the chills.
Yeah.
It's cool.
They're multiplying.
They are. So let...
Yeah, there you go, John.
I got it.
John catches the grease reference.
I got it. Let's see, MLB and the Players Association are starting their collective bargaining agreement negotiations.
Here's the thing.
Try to avoid a work stoppage.
There's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, I don't know, that offseason was really weird. They might have to go on strike. There's too much money, man. It'll work it out.
Won't happen.
They've already started. They got together early. They're starting this out. They'll work it out. There's just too much money to not work it out.
In the last 48 hours, they'll work it out.
They start now, but then, yeah.
Right, they'll push it off. Like
36 months of negotiations.
And then we get down to the last 2 weeks. They're like, oh, we're at a standstill. Both parties walk out. Yeah, we don't know if we're going to get this done. And then at the 11th hour, negotiations resume, and boom, we're done. So let's have that discussion now. Get it over with, not have to play with that drama. But I think sometimes there's a little bit of, this is good headlines, good pub, you know. Let's keep it going. We're in the headlines.
I mean, to be fair, baseball did resolve their last one quietly and very much ahead of the schedule. And, of course, baseball basically got everything it wanted from the union. So there wasn't really a lot of negotiations.
So I heard there was a baseball game that interrupted the Albert Pujols Love Fest in St. Louis.
They had three actual games, and there were a lot of hugs.
A lot of standing ovations.
A lot of standing ovations. The Albert Pujols leads the league in hugs this year.
Definitely. That's nice, though, that he was welcomed back with open arms. And
it's more odd that he... It took so long for him to get back there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little strange.
I don't blame him for not wanting to go back to St. Louis, but I think the scheduling.
Yeah, it was, 6 years it's been? Something like that? Yeah, it's a long time.
I mean, I guess it's there because they're, St. Louis is in the Central, NL Central, AL West for the Angels. Right. I guess it makes sense. But yeah, he played all three games, so they benched Ohtani. So Cardinals fans hoping to see one of the most electric players in the league got Albert Pujols instead.
But at the same time, they're probably saying, like, wow, he would be a lot better than Paul Goldschmidt this season.
Oof.
Goldschmidt has laid an egg this year.
Goldschmidt situation is a little bit... what the problem with him is? The off-speed pitch.
Yeah. But no stolen
bases.
He
has trouble hitting the off-speed pitch, and now he's pitchers are throwing it to him almost 20% of the time now, and he has not been able to adjust.
But where did the speed go? He has no stolen bases this year.
Well, yeah, I think that the Diamondbacks did a good job getting a quality catcher and a quality pitcher for a first baseman with diminishing skills, and I don't think the Cardinals should have signed him to an extension. That was weird.
Spent a lot of money. Was it 170
million? I don't think they gave up enough prospects to justify, oh, we gotta sign him now. Because sometimes you'll see a team do that, right? They'll give like the Red Sox with Chris Sale. Like, they gave up enough prospects that they're going to re-sign him. Like, right. They're going to make sure that they got their money's worth off the prospects they gave up. Michael Kopech and Yoan Moncada. Yoan Moncada, by the way, all-star snub, who's having a great year. Former number one prospect, starting to look like it. Sorry, tangent. Okay. Tangent alert.
We'll pick that up. Let's see what else we got. So the Yankees have continued their torrid home run streak, and tons of runs scored over the weekend across the pond.
50 runs. I did that joke in the newsletter.
Joke.
I said
that was hysterical.
Yeah. When you travel abroad, you got to be careful what you eat because you're just might get the runs.
Yeah, and both teams got them. Slugfest.
Both teams got the runs really bad.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to see any clips or anything. I saw a brief little 5-second clip. But was it a park factor? Was there people hitting bombs out of that because it was too small?
I think this is what was speculated was one that the pitcher's eye or the batter's eye, right, which is the black, for those who don't know, it's basically what they create behind the pitcher. to make it so that you can see the pitcher's hand release the baseball. So it's not just like a crowd of people and you can't actually see that the ball's being thrown. Anyway, so the batter's eye apparently was too good.
4K.
And then also because, what's that?
4K. 4K batter's eye?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was the highest resolution they could get. And the other thing is that because it's such a tall stadium, there's no wind inside the stadium to affect the ball as it's being thrown. So there's not a lot of movement on the ball. Anyway, that was what was speculated. But there's foul territory for days. There were shots of people on first base that looked like they were at second base with like so much field behind them.
Wow.
Like, why is there a first base coach behind second? Oh, that's first base. Oh, okay. Okay, this makes more sense now. It's huge.
But the Yankees are hitting home runs.
Man, they're hitting them. Was it 32 games now? 32 games.
They survived the replacement players. And now they got their core back, and save Giancarlo Stanton, who can't stay on the field apparently. They're just chugging along.
Right.
As long as you score, you know, 7-8 runs a game, you don't have to really worry about your mediocre pitching.
I mean, they went full softball, beer league softball. Like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's working. They're gonna have to get a pitcher. And you know that they'll be in the market, and they've got pieces to move too. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah, Domingo Germán comes back tomorrow. Or today, depending on whenever we put this up. So that should help. But Severino looks like he might not pitch this season. Maybe by the end of August, they're saying. That sounds like next year to me.
Right.
It's rough. And they, you know, Paxton hasn't been that great. Tanaka's been mostly really good, though he was blown up in London. So,
as was everybody.
Though I did say the Red Sox are saying that Nate Eovaldi is going to come back and be their closer, which is
interesting.
A possible solution to their absolutely dreadful bullpen situation. So,
no chance of wanting Joe Kelly back. Right?
No. No. No refunds, no returns, no exchanges.
I think that's a good move for Eovaldi, to be honest with you, because he has been injury prone. So shorten up his time on the mound, and you might get more miles for the gallon.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, he was great in the bullpen in the World Series in the playoffs. Sure. So maybe that's the way to go.
So Pete, what's he calling himself these days?
He officially said it as Pete to start the season.
Pete Alonso topped Daryl Strawberry's Mets rookie home run mark with his 27th in May. So still quite a long ways to go. So I think he's going to...
Right. So Daryl Strawberry's record for the year
was
26.
26, yeah.
So Alonso's now on, 29? Something like that. The guy is crushing home runs all over the place. It's amazing.
It's unfortunate that the Mets are so bad. And we have, let's see, what do we got? We got more Mets. We got like
they channeled all their goodness into Pete Alonso's bat.
And they didn't save any for anywhere else on the field.
Nowhere else do they get any of the good vibes.
They're paying some serious money to Diaz and Cano, and getting nothing.
Oh, Diaz Cano, a little bit in the beginning. I actually thought Cano was a good get. I thought he was solid for the Mariners last couple of years, but he is bottomed out, man. Yeah.
He's either hitting home runs or doing nothing. You know, not that he's been playing a lot. He's been injured, I think, on the DL a few times as well. Ooh, the IL a few times. But then you have the Mets with more headlines. Their manager, Jason Vargas, cursing out a reporter. The management is mad at Vargas because he basically won't apologize. So they're saying, like, he'll probably be gone by the trade deadline. And then you have the GM, Van Wagenen, saying that he wasn't discussing moves with the coaching staff during games. That smacks of George Steinbrenner. We have a Steinbrenner-type move thing going on here?
If I was a GM of a team and I had a bad manager like Mickey Callaway, I would be tempted to be involved in some of the in-game stuff. But I mean, technically, it's up to the manager, right? And if you don't like what the manager's doing, you fire them. But yeah, it's been, man, that team is just garbage fire central. And this whole thing with this reporter, it's hard to tell. Like, the reporter was like, see you tomorrow. And then Mickey Callaway just went bonkers on him. So some people are speculating that, like, well, maybe the reporter was also saying something snarky earlier or whatever. And
is there
Mickey
footage
Callaway,
of it?
No, it's just one of those, you know.
He said.
Yeah. Like, there's recordings of it. But there's no, like, there's no way to know, like, what the backstory was. And Mickey Callaway hasn't been gone, like, well, he was saying mean things earlier. It just, there's just no story. It's just, he just blew up, and then Jason Vargas was, like, ready to fight the guy. So,
I give athletes and coaches a lot of credit, especially baseball players, because they're in front of reporters every day, 5-6 days a week, and have to deal with the ups and downs. And managers and coaches of bad teams have to answer the same freaking questions all the time from the beat reporters, and it just gets old. I can see how somebody
And they're the same questions about what did you think about this move? What did you think about that? And it's just like, sometimes you're just losing.
Right. Yeah, nothing I can do. You know, it's not
that could be the Mets. That could be the Mets' motto, John.
Right.
Sometimes you're just losing.
It could be. I can
come on out and watch a game. Sometimes you're just losing.
That would be good. So then the Mets hit the trifecta of poor PR when they had a memorial for the, was it the 50th year of the 69.
Yeah, a big celebration for the 69 Mets.
And they had two players who are still alive that were included in the memorial.
Yes.
How does that happen?
It's the Mets, man. That the answer to your question is the question.
Right.
How do the Mets do that?
It's the Mets. So how did they find out? Did these guys call up and go, I'm not dead yet?
I think it was, it was very Monty Python-ish. So Ben Wegenen went out to their houses and clonked them on the head.
Right. So now they are. Yeah, good.
No, I think some reporters brought it up on the always invaluable Twitter.com.
And what was the response, the official response from the Mets? Oops.
Sorry about that. You know, sorry that one rolled between our legs.
Right. Sorry.
I don't know how you messed that up.
Yeah.
I don't know how you like do that. And then apparently someone's name was misspelled too. Like,
jeez.
I know there's that meme that's like, you had one job, but really, you had one job.
Right. One job. Get it right. Look
just
at the roster.
Just get those names right.
Even call them up. You know? Verify.
So weird.
So the Dodgers are extending. They're not the only team now. Someone else has said they were going to extend all the way to the foul pole. So we're now playing hockey, is that it, at baseball stadiums?
Here's the thing, right? Like, the balls are being hit harder off the bat. They've juiced the ball accidentally. I kind of get it, but when I watch it, it looks weird. And maybe in 10 years, it won't look weird anymore. But I think about, like, getting those front row seats on the field and, like, you can't reach a foul ball. Like, you can't get it.
It's a visual distraction. I've sat at a few games behind home plate, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. I just can't. It's just too much of a distraction. I don't like it. So I'd rather sit up in the bleachers or in the upper deck than sit right behind in the, you know, the $600 seats because the screen is obnoxious.
Right. My ideal spot is loge.
Perfect.
First base side,
perfect.
First row.
Yep,
that's my
here.
Jam.
Same here. Always the you know, when we went to Mariners games, that was kind of like the ideal spot. We would always get tickets, usually down the third base side, and that was more because of where the sun was. You know, if you were on the first base side, you'd get sun in your eyes in the summer especially. But yeah, third base line, you know, between third base and the foul pole, you know, the way the seats were oriented, they were facing home plate as opposed to facing second base, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, listeners, let us know what your favorite seat is in when you go to a ball game. Are you an upper decker or bleacher creature? Are you?
They're like, any seat where this podcast isn't playing. Move on.
So let's see, what Yankee broadcaster is calling it quits?
Well, no, not calling it quits. It's the guy. It's the, what's John his name? Sterling? Michael. Bill?
Michael. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Michael Sterling, right? Michael Lewis.
John Sterling, Michael Sterling, John. Michael. There's two well-known voices for the Yankees. One of them. And what's his streak?
30 years in a row, John Sterling.
John Sterling, okay.
Yeah. I got Michael Kay and John Michael Sterling K. mixed up, yeah, and got right, Michael right. Sterling. They could probably just go with one announcer, really. Anyway, so John Sterling is going to miss a game for the first time in 30 years.
Wow.
Not he's 81.
Is he really that old?
And he's feeling a little under the weather, so he's going to stay home for this one trip.
Yeah, I guess you've earned it at 81.
At 81, I mean, for crying out loud, he should just be doing half a season. But, you know, the travel's the hard part on a job sure. like that, right?
Yeah.
So I remember when Vin started winding down, Vin Scully.
It was just home games, right?
It was just home games. First it was home games and West Coast games.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, and then not Colorado, and then not Arizona and San Francisco, and just home games. Mm-hmm. And then it was not all home games, and then it was retirement.
Retirement. After, what, 60 years for him, something like that?
The greatest ever.
Yeah. He's awesome.
How he could fill a broadcast by himself when you have these yabos with 2-3 people can't fill it with that many people. It starts turning into a gall dang circus, and Joe Buck and out there with fucking John Smoltz, pardon my language, that's my new name for him, like acting as if they have a gun to their head and they're being made to watch this sport. Like, sorry, it's a great baseball game. You can do other things with your time if this is so offensive. You have all the money in the world. Please go somewhere you are happy, sir.
Right.
Instead of spreading your unhappiness to the rest of the world.
Get off my lawn.
They actually make the ESPN crew, where Alex Rodriguez, who, by the way, started off everyone liked him, but I don't know if you've listened to him lately. I think he found out that everyone liked him, and now he's got like this weird thing of like, oh, I can just talk about whatever I want. And it doesn't even matter if I make any sense. That's still better than the Joe Buck and effing John Smoltz experience. What's with these new statistics? Oh, they're ruining the game. Oh, look at these home runs. Oh, the strikeouts are killing me. Oh. Dude, shut up. Go home.
Opinion column?
Right? Like, come on. You guys want to run a sports talk radio show? Great. Joe Buck, you tried that, and it got canceled because no one watched it. Right. Just announced the game.
Right. Yeah, we don't need that. Give me the old-time announcers that would tell you a story for, you know, in between pitches and spin a yarn, take, you know, a little bit high and outside, and then back to the story, and, you know, yeah, just great storytelling. So what's this about... July 2nd signings. What I don't even know what that means.
Oh, these are the international signings, right? Oh, so yeah, July 2nd is the first time you can
National
officially
UFO
sign.
Day, by the way. July 2nd.
Congratulations to you, John.
Thank you.
What an extraordinary day it is.
It is,
John.
Indeed. It is indeed.
That's a reference to John's extraordinary films, one of which just won an award, if I'm not mistaken.
Another one, yeah. 13 laurels. 4 Best Picture prizes, and we still have a few more we're waiting on. So, yeah, it's been a
fantastic.
good run.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we've already pimped it, but I will say when people can see these things, they really should. Regardless of what you think about UFOs, John presents it in a very palatable way for sort of both sides-ish.
Thank you.
If you're a believer, it's well presented, and if you don't believe, there is a little bit of skepticism and sort of like a, hey, here's John doesn't present it with his emotions attached,
no,
which I think is the big failing of other films, including there's another UFO type film that uses the word extraordinary. I don't know if you guys heard about this guy. but it's with the Bob Lazar.
Sure. Jeremy Corbell.
Whatever. Right. And that guy, oy, caramba.
Yeah, he's very...
I don't know if you're allowed to talk dirt about other documentarians,
he's
but
very
this guy...
involved, both behind and in front of the camera. But that's his shtick, and it works for him.
Yeah. No one cares about the filmmaker in front of the camera. Like, if you're doing a documentary, you care about what the documentary is about, not the personal experience of the documentarian.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah, anyway... Moving on, John's films are really interesting to watch, and the Stan Romanek one, I had a friend reach out to me, 2 months ago, and was just like, hey, Jed, what was the name of that UFO movie that I couldn't sleep for 3 months after seeing? And I was like, oh, it's Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek film. She's like, yeah, okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, that's good.
Really I've interesting stuff. Anyway, back to July 2nd signings.
Yes.
So, The Martian, right, tie-in here, that's the nickname of Jason Rodriguez, or Jason Rodriguez, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I just assume it's Jason Rodriguez, signed with the Yankees for $5.1 million, 16 years old, 5-tool player, looks like an absolute monster,
that's a big
future
signing.
Prospect, but again, just 16, so, you know.
Anything can happen.
But long way to go sort of thing. But, you know, maybe not so long these days, right? Like, no, guys coming up at 18, 19 years old. So
all I have two words for Yankees fans who get all jazz up about that. Brian Taylor. That's all I got to say. Back in the 90s.
Yeah, but what about Ronald Acuna?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
What about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Yeah. You can go
these
on.
These are the
on.
July 2 signings. These are international players who can sign at 16, by the way, but U.S. players can't sign at 16? I don't know. That feels weird.
Yeah,
that feels exploitative.
Yeah, a little bit.
Exploitative? Yeah. Exploitative.
Exploitative. Exploitative.
Hoo-wee.
Exploitative. Words with Jed and John.
Extraordinary.
So last headline we've got, I didn't even hear about this. Is this become a thing? Fans running onto
the field? Happened twice. Oh, it happened twice.
Was it, what was that, the woman that used to come out with the big boobs and kiss people?
Do you mean Morgana, the kissing bandit?
Yes, kissing bandit.
I don't, maybe.
So Cody Bellinger is pleading with fans to stop.
Pleading.
Stop running on the field to give him hugs.
Yes, because A, they're going to go to jail.
That's
and
one.
B, it's... probably a little terrifying in this day and age. Right. You know, I mean, like, you know, maybe the girl's got mace. You never know.
So what was Cody Bellinger's plea?
Well, he just says, like, hey, please stop running onto the field in the games to hug me. I don't, that's not good for me, and it's illegal, so.
And was he, like, you know, using his hand down below the screen, kind of like, you know, come on, keep it going. It's good. It's okay. It's good for my image. Keep it going. It's okay.
No, I don't think he was secretly trying to get people to do it.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever. You get somebody drunk, and they're going to run, and they think he's hot, and they're going to run out on the field. Sure. That's how it goes, man.
Yeah, it's good to see women involved in baseball, too, at that level of passion, not just somebody.
That is so sexist, John.
No, I mean, guys are going to run out and hang out in the outfield. You see how many times have you seen, and they used to show this back in the day when a fan would run out onto the field. But, you know, usually if it's a male fan, there's security agents running to tackle them. I don't think there was anybody tackling a female going out to give a hug.
Yeah. I think they did tackle one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta tackle, like, they're usually drunk.
Okay, well, moving on.
That's how it goes, man.
So we'll see if that plea works, and if any more women feel compelled to run out and give Cody a hug. You know, he is the second best player in baseball, so.
According to Jerry Harrison Jr.
Yeah, number two.
I mean, he's the MVP of the season so far.
Yeah. Big numbers.
Big numbers.
So let's move on to starting nine. I'm intrigued by this one. I look forward to, in honor of the new Hobbs and Shaw spin-off movie from the Fast and Furious franchise. You have nine players with spin-off movie names.
There's a film called Hobbs and Shaw coming out. There's a spin-off of Fast and Furious where two characters must save the world from a biochemical weapon, and it involves a super soldier man. These are Fast and Furious films. It's car racing.
Yeah. Why is there no
What
cars?
Is going on here? What's going to be next? They're going to have to, like, launch into space and, like, do, like, shuttle racing, but also to save the moon from, like, I think we saw this. It's called Independence Day.
Right.
Maybe these are all just prequels to Independence Day.
And it's just the action film, you know? You know, just popcorn movie on a Saturday and just
but
suspend
it's,
your
Why won't it
beliefs?
Stay in its own world? Why That's won't true. They stay in their Keep, own world?
Right. Well, maybe they'll. Maybe this is spinning off a new franchise. That's kind of the hope, right? That, you know, five
Not
years,
for me. That's not my hope.
5 years from now, people are going to be like, yeah, this is such a great franchise. This third film is the best of the three. Not even.
What if we did a spinoff off of the spinoff?
Ooh. There's a lot of spinning going on. I'd get dizzy.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you know what? You're going to get so dizzy, you're going to throw up.
Right. So what do we got?
Watching these movies. All right. Here we go. Starting nine. Nine major league players with names that are similar in some way to spin-off movies. First off, Sir Anthony Dominguez Marshals.
Okay.
U.S. Marshals, a spin-off of Fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
Fugitive, a great film. U.S. Marshals, okay film. But still okay. The Scorp Ian Kingsler.
Nice.
Ian Kingsler.
Mm-hmm.
The Scorpion King spinoff of The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that mummy. Weird new Tom Cruise mummy that was like, wait, what's going on here? I thought this is a Tom Cruise movie. It's supposed to be good. What happened? The surprisingly still holds up old The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
With
Fraser.
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser before he went Bonkers. And had his problems.
Yeah.
Next up, Mookie Puss in Betts.
The Shrek spin-off.
Puss in Boots.
Yeah, that's good.
Mookie Betts, Puss in Boots. Shrek spinoff. Exactly. Manny Margot him to the Greek.
Oh, very good. What was that a spin-off?
Get into the Greek. Spinoff of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went deep on these.
I forgot about that connection with, what's his name?
Yeah. Aldous Great Snow.
Movie. Yep.
Yeah.
Great movie. I love it.
Which one?
The second one. Both of them.
They're both okay. Great. I like the first two-thirds of Get Into the Greek, like, a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as with any film where everyone's doing a bunch of drugs, it did seem to fall apart a bit at the end.
Still good.
Yeah, the Born Legacy C. Sabathia.
Legacy C.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's Jeremy Renner's offshoot.
Not so
Dominions
good.
Santana.
Nice.
Yeah. That's Jeff funny. Mathis is 40. This is 40 being a spinoff of Knocked Up.
Nice.
Yes. Rogue Juan Soto.
Nice. One of the better Star Wars films in the franchise.
I will say, of the current films, of the four, that's the only one I've been able to watch a second time. The other ones are so bad.
I disagree.
Well, here we go. Sit down for this one, John. It's Tommy Fantastic Beasts and Thony Swearzak to find the Emilio Pagan.
Wow, a triple.
Yeah, a triple.
Wow.
Like, that's a straight-up Gryffindor move. Expecto starting Ninum.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
How long did you work on the last one? Did it just come to you?
No, actually, the Emilio Pagan one was the hardest one for me to sort out.
Mm-hmm. That was really
on the whole thing.
I'm impressed.
But the Swearzak and all that stuff was pretty easy. Because it's pretty easy because you just think phonetically, right?
Sure.
Instead of thinking just spelling wise. So it's like where so you just search for WAR and yeah. Anyway, I'm just glad this is what I'm putting all my mind's powers to use for. I do other stuff too, people. This isn't all I do during the week.
So let's move on to Around the Horn. We're going to talk some All-Star snubs and duds. So do you want to just blitz through it, or do you have some names that you want to talk about? Are you going to go team by team? How are you going to do
this? Yeah, you know what? You see that link I got on there with the rosters?
I do. Just opening it up right now.
Yeah, we're just going to go down this list, starting with the American League. Should this person be in? Should they not be in? Thoughts, boom, boom, boom. It's around the horn, but about the players as opposed to by team. Here we go.
Okay, Gary Sanchez, catcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah, big year.
Bad catcher, great hitter. That's all we care about for this game is great hitter.
Okay, how about Carlos Santana, first base for the Indians?
I like it. First base, kind of a weak position this year, but Carlos Santana is having a very good year. Home runs, on-base percentage, and he's a good defender.
DJ LeMahieu, surprise, second base for the Yankees.
I mean, this guy was going to be the extra infielder, and then Andujar went down, and Torres went down, and Gregorius went down, and he has been electric. He's been a better hitter.
Leading hitting, right?
He's been a better hitter away from Coors Field than he was at Coors Field, and something like batting 400, 440 with runners in scoring position, which obviously is not sustainable, but, man, That'll get you playing time. But he was so close to signing with a couple other teams, you know they're kicking themselves.
Right. Because he was kind of an afterthought. Was that his best 2-3 years behind him, and was it the Coors Field effect? And apparently not.
Yeah.
Okay, third base.
And he wanted to play for the Yankees. I think that was, got his wish, and it worked out great.
Yeah. Third base, Alex Bregman, Astros.
Great third baseman, great defender, great choice.
Jorge Polanco, Twins, shortstop.
Jorge Polanco, almost as good as Xander Bogaerts.
Voted in, though, right?
Voted in, so fair enough. But Xander Bogaerts is just the best shortstop in baseball right now. And it's crazy that he's not even on the roster. And I know the Red Sox are down this year, and they whatever, and everyone hates the Red Sox almost as much as they hate the Yankees. I get it. And hey, we all have the fresh blood. But he's having an amazing year, Xander Bogaerts. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
But not on the roster at all?
Wow. Yeah.
He's going to enjoy his
time. Polanco's having a very good year, by the way.
Yes.
And we assume it's not steroid-aided, but...
So in the outfield, we got Mike Trout, George Springer, Michael Brantley. Brantley, a little bit of a surprise, no?
Brantley should not be on the team at all, but he was voted in, so he's voted in.
And it's the fans, the fans stuffing the ballot box stuffing the
The Astros fans.
Digital
and maybe the Indians fans, too, also? I don't know.
And Twins fans.
And maybe just sort of like a lack of a lot of really great other players, right? Like Mookie Betts is having a way down year. I mean, you could easily make an argument that Betts shouldn't be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's having some of these other outfielders, you're kind of like, oh, not that amazing.
But then you also have to, you have to get players, at least one representative from all the crummy teams too. But the White Sox wound up with a couple of players on the team, so.
That's true.
And they're an up-and-coming team. We'll get to that.
And they should have had Yoan Moncada. Mm-hmm. Yoan Moncada is better than Tommy La Stella.
Mm-hmm.
And the Angels already had, what's his face?
Mike Trout.
Trout.
Yeah.
What's his face? Just the best player in the league. Whatever, Jen.
In the history of baseball. And another surprise, Hunter Pence, DH, voted in.
Yeah, that's also another bad choice by the fans.
Hey, well, because J.D. Martinez should be there?
Well, I mean, again, this is one of those things like, well, who should be there? Well, probably J.D. Martinez, right? But J.D. Martinez, Red Sox are having a down year. Martinez hasn't been like blah, 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 the knocking the cover off the ball just yet, whatever. Anyway.
But I think Hunter Pence is deserving because he, you know, went to the Mexican League, retooled his whole approach to the game, and has been fantastic.
Oh, is there a comeback player slot on this roster? I didn't see that on mine.
But he's having a good year. It's not like he's...
He's having a fine year.
Yeah.
But look at like he's injured right now, isn't he?
He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, will he be back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Then he'll be injured next week. I apologize.
Okay. So let's look at the reserves. Are we going through the reserves too? Okay. Catcher James
McCann. Wait, weren't those the reserves? James McCann, I guess it's fine, right? Like, they got to put a second catcher out there. James McCann's having a solid year.
Jose Abreu, first base, White Sox?
He shouldn't be on the team.
Shouldn't be?
No.
Okay.
They don't need him. There's other players who should. How about this? How about, like, third baseman for the Red Sox, Rafael Devers? Like, what is it? What, everyone hates the Reds. They won the World Series last year. Suck it.
But two good choices for the starting and reserve at third base, right?
Oh, Bregman's better than Devers. Don't get me wrong, but Devers has been better defensively. He's actually like slightly above average now, like believe it or not. And his hitting has been freaking incredible. He's hitting like 335 right now.
But Chapman is like the third highest WAR in the American League?
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with Chapman because Chapman brings like the supremo defense. I'm just talking about Tommy La Stella, Jose Abreu, blah, blah, blah.
Daniel Vogelback.
What a joke. I like Vogelback. Vogelback's numbers are pretty good, and the Mariners need to have somebody on the team. He might as well be someone who's pretty good.
The only player representing the Mariners.
Yeah. After that start they got off to, very surprising.
13-2, and now one of the worst run differentials in baseball.
Oof.
Let's see what else we got. So third base, Matt Chapman. Francisco Lindor over.
Love him.
Yeah, he's a good.
I mean, obviously, I think Bogaerts should have, if it was between Lindor and Bogaerts, it should have been Bogaerts, but he's so good. Someone else should have been bumped off here.
How about the backup outfield? Mookie Betts, Joey Gallo, Austin Meadows, and Whit Merrifield.
And just to prove I'm not like a total homer for the Red Sox, like I don't think Betts should be on this team. Like he's a great defender and he's a superstar, but he's having a down year. Nolan Arenado didn't make the NL team, so.
But all the reserves were voted by the players, right? So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's players and then, but see, that's the thing is the players don't factor in like Coors Field. They don't factor in like stadium effects and stuff like that. I think that before the players did the second round of stuff, I think it was a better play, a better setup thing.
Let's see. Pitchers. All right, DH. J.D. Martinez deserves to be there. You know,
do you have to have a backup DH, though? Yeah. Like, I don't think you need that.
Yeah, let the DH. It's not like he's going to get winded out there going up to the bat four times.
But like anyone else, like you can have Gallo DH. Like that's a great, Gallo's a great pick.
Yeah. So let's look at these pitchers. We got Aroldis Chapman, Gerrit Cole, Lucas Giolito, Shane Green, Brad Hand, John Means, Mike Minor, Charlie Morton, Jake Odorizzi, Ryan Pressly, Marcus Stroman, and Justin Verlander. Top to bottom, I wouldn't say that's like amazing.
Sale should be on here. They should just find a way.
Bad first month, but lights out since.
Yeah, but Giolito's been, he figured out, I don't know what he changed, but he is definitely, he's become that player everyone thought he could be years ago.
Mm-hmm. And the Nationals are kicking themselves for that, giving up too early.
Well, they got, who did they get? Eaton?
Eaton, yeah.
Yeah, they're kicking themselves.
So it's good to see Jake Odorizzi on there too. He had a up and down. Everyone thought he was going to be good. Then, you know, everything kind of came together. Are the Twins doing a spin rate thing? Because they're turning, you know, pitchers into good pitchers.
Twins and Rangers, man. Is Mike Minor? Mike Minor's on here too, right? Yeah. Minor of all people with like a 2.2 ERA. Awesome.
Okay, let's move into the National League starters.
Yeah.
Catcher Wilson Contreras should be there.
Oh, wait a minute. Nolan Arenado is the starter. What was I looking at?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait a second. That makes no sense that he's not. Anyways. No, I think the list I saw was just reserves now that I think about it.
Okay.
But this is an awesome team right here.
Yeah, these are when you think about the best players in the National League, this top to bottom, their lineup is the best players at their position.
This is no like ballot box stuffing by some cheapo fans or like some fluke players and like there's like this is incredible. Yeah. Contreras, Freddie Freeman at first, Ketel Marte at second base, Nolan Arenado at third, Javier Baez at short, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, Ronald Acuna Jr. in the outfield. Whoa!
That is an all-star team.
That is awesome.
And their reserves aren't too bad either. But they're okay, not. So when you look at that, you don't
I love me some too. Josh Bell, and mm-hmm. Pete Alonso's a monster. Yasmani Grandel deserves it. JT Realmuto deserves it. Mike Moustakas, I'm not so... that's a lot of home runs, yes, but everyone's hitting home runs, so who cares? Chris Bryant, absolutely. Anthony Rendon, absolutely. Paul DeJong is the Cardinals rep, so I guess that's somebody where they decided to weaken the team.
Yeah.
Boy, the poor Cardinals, though, huh?
Yeah, they started.
Are they 500 now, or are they below 500?
I think they were 41-41 last time I checked.
Oof.
Right around there.
They were better last year under, what's his face? The man whose name I won't speak.
Mathis?
Matheny?
Matheny, yeah. Matheny. Yeah.
Jeff Mathis is 40?
Yes. Okay, reserves?
Trevor Story shouldn't be on this team. No. David Dahl shouldn't be on this team. Charlie Blackmon should absolutely be on this team. But this is just like padded numbers. They're not factoring in like, oh, it's Coors Field, of course. Blah, 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 blah. And Jeff McNeil has been a revelation for the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we talk about how Pete Alonso's got all the goodness, but Jeff McNeil has been. I traded him away in my other keeper league thinking like, oh, great. Now he's going to be like the utility guy because they've got Cano and Alonso, and there's no place for McNeil to play. They found a way to put it in the outfield, on the infield. He's got like a 430 on base percentage. It's awesome.
Yeah. And he's among the leaders in batting average too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Rookie. So, and their pitchers, this is where they drop down a little bit. You know, they have a dominant starting lineup. Pitching, you know, when you're lead off with Sandy Alcantara, for the Marlins, I know we weren't supposed to talk about the Marlins, but he's the lone rep for the Marlins. Walker Buehler, Luis Castillo, Jacob DeGrom.
Now, hold on a second. You're not leading off with Alcantara. You're leading off with Max Scherzer and Hyunjin Ryu. Like, those guys have been monsters this year. You're saying leading off, but let's be clear. We're just going by this list here.
Yes.
Which is alphabetical, as far as I can tell. Just a quick scan. Yeah, alphabetical.
It is alphabetical, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got, you know, should Jacob DeGrom be there? Inconsistent?
I mean, again, like, part of the All-Star game is bring the stars out, right? Like, it shouldn't just be who had the best stats in the first half of the year. So, I think last year's Cy Young Award winner, who's not injured, this is why Chris Sale should be on the team. Like, mm-hmm. you bring out the stars and the new young players and all that stuff, but... You know, Soroka's having a strong year. Will Smith he's the Giants rep, and he's having a strong year, though he might not be on the Giants by the time the game happens. He might get traded. Josh Hader, of course, is incredible. Zach Greinke, really?
For his home runs, maybe. I think he leads the pitching staff in home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say on paper, my only real complaints. My only real complaints are that Bogarts and Devers didn't make the team and that David Dahl did make the team. I think David Dahl is the worst, and then I think Tommy La Stella is the second worst. And Yoan Moncada really should be on the team too, but those are my complaints. But otherwise, what an amazing lineup of amazing players. I'm excited to not watch the game, but watch the Futures game as I always do.
Exciting.
And then to hear about the All-Star game
afterwards. Isn't this the Home Run Derby? Is the Money Derby this year? I don't even know who's in the Home Run Derby.
That's right. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is in it.
Nice.
Josh Bell is in it. All of these players making under $1 million this year.
So they're there for the money. Yeah, they're like, give me some money. Show me the money.
I'll take it.
Okay, let's move on to extra innings, looking outside the world of baseball. And my head is still spinning from all the NBA, you know, what was it, Sunday night, all of a sudden you could start talking to free agents. And I think the league turned over like 30%. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, wild, man. It's wild,
I don't even know who's on whose team anymore. But, you know, the Nets all of a sudden are a playoff contender, you know, overnight.
Yeah.
Well, although they'll probably be 7-8 seed next year and then 1-2 seed the year after when Durant comes back. But Kyrie Irving.
Right, so they gave him a 4-year, $160 million deal, and he might not play at all next season. Is that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a 3-year deal.
It's a 3-year
big money
deal.
Yeah.
Wild. And he might not come back at all. Like, just to be clear, it's an Achilles.
Right. You never know.
He might not come back at all.
Yep. And they also signed DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
So it's three big names. That's a pretty.
Yeah. Irving, pretty big, Durant, Jordan. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, and they had to give up their kind of their I guess all-star last year, and he wound up in a sign and trade with the Warriors. I'm forgetting his name.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell.
Right, D'Angelo Russell. So yeah. He's.
I like him. I liked him when he was on the Lakers. I don't. Yeah. I but you know, see what we can do in Golden State, right?
Yeah, yeah. Golden State's got to retool a little bit. Klay Thompson out probably until the end of the season. And they traded the heart and soul of the team, Andre Iguodala, to the Grizzlies. That's a, I guess, to make room for Russell? I don't know. But so that era of Golden State is over. It'll be a new
era. It does seem like it.
Yeah.
It does
seem like it.
I mean, if only organization personnel-wise, it's over.
And I'm surprised you didn't have the U.S. women's soccer team advancing to the finals of the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did hear about that. Yeah, they won 2-1 against England. Jolly old England.
Right. England took it on the chin.
Yeah.
So that's the big news.
The co-captain didn't start, though. I don't remember her name, but because she's a soccer player.
You know, you get into the national spirit thing. You know, soccer's a football. Football is a big thing down here. Every restaurant, bar, we even heard people in a dentist's office cheering when Ecuador was playing in the CONCACAF Cup qualifier thing a couple weeks ago. You know, the whole staff was like standing up screaming as if it was, you know, the World Series. So that's our
yes. Culturally, maybe. It has quite a hold on.
Yeah, it does. I just can't get past cultures. All the flopping. I just can't do it. It just really taints the sport for me.
You know what's exciting about soccer?
What?
Nothing. But if soccer could somehow be a highlight show instead of an actual 428-minute game or however long their games are, like. The highlights from soccer are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they are. But you wait around, you know, you can go to 10 games and see one highlight.
Yeah.
Moment. You know, it's not like it's happening all the time. I shouldn't say that because it's played all over the world. And when you do see some of the highlights.
There's a one or two a game, like, but I'm looking for something more than that out of sports.
I hear you. So Taylor Swift versus Scooter Braun. I have no idea who Scooter Braun is, so fill me in.
Scooter Braun is Taylor Swift's former manager. Mm-hmm. He bought the record company that owned Taylor Swift's music, so now he owns Taylor Swift's music.
Wow. And she's not happy about that.
And she is not happy. And she's attacking Scooter Braun. And then Scooter Braun's wife is attacking Taylor. And then... Justin Bieber is attacking Taylor because Justin Bieber is still with Scooter Braun. And so is Demi Lovato. And Demi Lovato is defending Scooter Braun. And then some other artists are attacking Scooter Braun. It is just a fantastic thing of just artists and management and just the ugliness of the entertainment industry and how everyone pretends to be friends, but they all are just backstabbers that are just They just want everything their own way. And Scooter Braun is probably a monster. Who knows? But he's a manager of artists, so he's probably a bad person. That's so a safe bet.
It's the flopping of the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So basically, wow, it's entertaining. Yeah. Thanks for filling me in on that. I would have not known. So I feel educated. I can leave this show feeling educated. But this last
it's going to keep going too. Like this is a big deal. This is like when McCartney's company bought the Michael Jackson music.
Mm. Wow. So this is going to be.
Sorry.
This is the other way around.
When Michael Jackson's company bought the Beatles music.
Beatles music, right.
Sorry, backwards. And then they're like immediately sold like, hey, what about using Revolution for a shoe commercial? And like people were like, oh, I remember when we didn't have Beatles music being cheapened by commercials. Oh, cool.
So this last item, it's here for a reason. I'm sure you got a chuckle out of it. I know nothing about this either. A South Korean singer, actor Park Yoo-chun, sentenced for drug use.
Yes.
What happened?
Look, John, it's not just about America. This is the problem that people have in America, is they think it's just about America. South Korea is another country unto itself from America. And South Korean singer/actor Park Yoo-chun, his used to be in a boy band called JYJ or YJY, I don't remember, but it was some combination of that, and then became an actor. This guy has been on methamphetamines. And he was dating the heiress to like one of the biggest dairy companies in the country. And she got him on methamphetamines, right? Because, of course, what is she going to be doing with her time?
Right.
Drink milk? Nope. Methamphetamines.
Jeez.
She gets him on methamphetamines. They're going to get married. He calls off the marriage, but they break up, but he's still got the methamphetamines addiction. And he looks, of course, just wrecked. He's still got all his teeth, so he's not quite all the way meth free.
20 years older.
But he looks 20 years older. And this poor guy, and of course, the drug laws in South Korea are a little more strict than they are in the United States. But like, this guy was like, he's like, oh yeah, no, I made a mistake, and they suspended his sentence. It's supposed to be like an 8-month prison sentence, and they suspended the sentence. So very American. I'm glad to see they're holding that standard for celebrities. But yeah, this guy is like ravaged by methamphetamine. I mean, I say ravaged, but like the guy's a meth addict in South Korea, John. They got meth addicts in South Korea.
Wow. What's coming up next?
Find out if you'll never know if you don't go, or you'll never shine if you don't glow, on the next episode of Hey Now, You're an All-Star.